ARVS.org.
Good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. Currently partly cloudy, 94 degrees here on the campus of UL Lafayette. A 20% chance of a pop-up shower this afternoon. And overnight, a low this evening of around 75 degrees. 50% chance expected for Thursday. Coming up at 4 o'clock, All Things Considered from NPR News. And Judith Merriweather will join us at around 3:30. Music begins with a performance by the London Symphony under the direction of Sir John Barbaroli and featuring cellist Jacqueline Dupree. This is a performance of Haydn's Concerto in D, Opus 101.
Thank you.
Sir John Barbaroli conducted the London Symphony, featuring cellist Jacqueline Dupree with a performance of Haydn's Concerto in D, Opus 101. It's 3:30. You're listening to KRVS Lafayette Lake Charles. Time to go into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
And I'm very happy to say joining me in the studio this afternoon are Christy Malloyd, who is an associate professor of political science at UL Lafayette, and Sally Donlan, who is the assistant dean of liberal arts here. They are here to talk about an amazing program that's happening this Friday. It's the Kathleen Blanco Legacy Colloquium. The College of Liberal Arts is presenting this colloquium both to honor Kathleen Babineau Blanco and also to celebrate the new Kathleen Babineau Blanco Public Policy Center that is being housed here at UL Lafayette, and it will be in Dupré Library. So a great celebration to have you both here to talk about. On Friday, the colloquium will take place during the day, and you mentioned that the gala, which will be Friday night, is completely filled up. Yes, and so that's a great honor, and people very happy to be celebrating her. This is both a celebration of her and what she has done, but as you said, Sally, also a look forward in with many of the measures that she began as governor here, and we hope to continue looking forward with this policy center. So let's talk just a bit about Kathleen Blanco. We'll talk in a moment about what's going to happen at the colloquium and then the center. But for those people who perhaps weren't here when Kathleen was governor, or, you know, time rushes on and we're absorbed with so many other things, can you tell us just a bit about Kathleen Blanco, Sally?
Well, she's had a long and productive life in public service. She first served in the Louisiana legislature. Then she served as a public service commissioner. And then she served as lieutenant governor before being elected as the first female and 54th governor of the state of Louisiana.
An amazing career for any politician. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But as you said, there were a number of firsts along the way. Mm-hmm. And she did it with an amazing style and intelligence mm-hmm. that I think people remember today. So this colloquium, again, is both to honor, celebrate, and to look forward mm-hmm. as we create this center here. Tell us about the people who will be involved in the day.
It's a terrific panel. We're sponsoring this colloquium, as you said, to look at what Kathleen worked on, her areas of interest, which included everything from criminal justice reform through civic participation, poverty issues, disaster response, especially here in Louisiana, which is so important to all of us. But we're not going to really linger long on what she actually did. We're going to look at those areas, and then we have a really stellar panel of people who can take that and run with it. Where is the state now? Where can we go in the future with this? What's the prognosis for progress in these areas?
And I believe that Mary Landrieu is going to be
moderate, which will be fun. We have three of our faculty members. We have Dr. Christy Malloyd, who's here with me right now from the Political Science Department. We have Dr. David Kay, who heads our Criminal Justice Program, and we have Dr. Deanne Kalick, who heads our Sociology, Anthropology, and Child and Family Studies program. And we also have Dr. Mike Newstrom, who has also had an illustrious life in public mm-hmm. service and a long history with the university, and he is back now as an adjunct instructor in criminal justice with us now. If you remember, he had headed that department
yes.
in the past before he went on to become our sheriff for, what, 16 years?
Right. Great resource mm-hmm. that he is back for
and
the
then
university.
We also have three folks from the state level. We have Dr. Kim Hunter-Reed, who is the ninth and current commissioner of higher education. We have Ms. Terry Ricks, who is the deputy secretary for the Louisiana Department of Child and Family Services, and Sean Wilson, who also got his undergraduate degree here. He's an alum of UL, and he is now the secretary of the Department of Transportation and Development. He has a long history with that agency as well, but he is currently the secretary.
Well, that is quite a panel of stars, both from the university and the state as well. So, Christy, you're going to be on this panel. I know that many people in our audience know you as well. You've been here several times, but you also sit in for Dr. Pearson Cross sometimes for his program, Bayou to Beltway, and you do a lovely job with that.
Thank you.
So on this panel, what do you all – you have quite a number of topics that you all will be addressing. What can people hope to hear from this panel? How will you all be treating this material?
Well, our focus is really touching on the past but looking forward. What are the critical areas where we can do research, we can contribute with scholarship, and we can actually offer the beginning of solutions for some of the problems that our state has been facing and begin to set a vision statement for how do we move forward from here. And part of the Blanco Public Policy Center is really going to be establishing a venue for policymakers and scholars to come together and provide a productive workspace for us to have these conversations and offer not just state legislators but policymakers across the state a venue for that kind of visioning and bringing these resources to bear on our public conversations.
So really trying to foster that dialogue rather than just relying on, you know, sound bites and Twitter bites and,
right.
You know, however else people get those little bits of information out there, but really hoping to foster that kind of very informed dialogue.
I think so. This is hopefully the ignition of the conversation that will be born out over the next few years as the Blanco Center comes into full development. Right? Part of the Blanco Center, the idea has been launched this summer, and we hope to have a director for the center in place beginning in January to really start bringing all of these folks together.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, a center is an amazing idea, and certainly the wealth of material that will come from her archives and legacy will be wonderful. But as we said before, everything depends upon how a center like that is used. Mm-hmm. And it is, of course, housed in the College of Liberal Arts, your department, Political Sciences mm-hmm. and Liberal Arts. How can a department, a university, make use of a center like that?
Well, one way that centers like this often work is creating deliberate events to bring people together from various disciplines. Right? Often we're stuck in our little corners of our buildings teaching our classes, but a center can offer a creative space to bring people from across disciplines, from across universities, and more importantly, to link people who are in the university to nonprofits and different policymakers across the state. Because too often we're in our own space, and giving a physical space and creating time and events for people to actually come together to do this kind of meaningful work, I think, is going to be important.
I think that is, as you mentioned, important events. You know, we've gotten so used to liking on Facebook or sending out a tweet or something, and it often feels extremely disconnected and as though people aren't really getting into the meat of mm-hmm. some topic. Mm-hmm. So creating events, whether it's a lecture, a panel discussion, a gathering where people can meet politicians, meet policymakers, that's a wonderful resource, not only for the university, but the community. You also mentioned, Sally, before you all went on the air, that a graduate of the Political Science Department, Jolan Jolovet, is
right.
coming to talk, and he's going to make some points about that as well.
Right. He's speaking at the gala on Friday evening, and his point is that he's a recent grad in political science. As you said, he is currently working in government. But his point is how wonderful this would have been had this center been in effect in effect and working and open, bringing all these different people together and groups together while he was a student. We work very hard here at the university, especially in the College of Liberal Arts, to find internships for students so that they can get these experiences. But here we're bringing something to the university where things can now come to us, experience can come to us. So we see just all kinds of opportunities through the center. And we're looking at this colloquium as one of those first events mm-hmm. that Christy was talking about.
Right. And we do want to let people know that everyone's invited to come. You're hoping that they will sign up through the Eventbrite site.
That's right. They can. It is free and open to the public. We'd love all sorts of people to attend. There is no charge, but we're hoping that people will sign up through the Eventbrite because that just helps us to keep a track on our numbers so that we have, for one thing, enough food when we provide them that light lunch that's following the colloquium.
That's very helpful. But should Friday morning arrive and someone realizes their schedule has opened up and they can't attend,
They should just come because, as always, people's lives are fluid. Time is not elastic, but our lives are fluid. So things happen. There will be people who have made reservations who are not able to attend. There are those folks for whom time will have opened up, and we'd love to have them.
All right. So everybody, put it on your schedule. If you can make it, you can attend
this
colloquium. It is at the Light Center, which has a lovely auditorium.
That's correct.
Comfortable. The sound is really good. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, there will be a light lunch following that, 10 to 12, and starting in the morning.
And AOC will be recording our the whole event.
Okay. So, Christy, again, sort of back to what people can expect to hear, because you all come from very different backgrounds, the people who will be on the panel, and you will be kind of adding your own personal voice to what you hope will come out of something like this. Tell us just a bit about, I guess, what you personally would hope, you know, as a teacher, as a researcher, as a political scientist, what will be your voice during this colloquium?
Well, I think one of the things that I'm excited about is the chance to hear not just my contribution, but really having an opportunity to hear what people from different disciplines see as the most critical starting points. You know, for me, one of the things that came out of Governor Blanco's legacy is trying to find more ways to get people involved in the civic process and opening up voting opportunities, opening up voting access, and how do we have more people engage, especially in the wake of tragedies like Hurricane Katrina, when people are displaced and disheveled. How can we make sure that they still can be involved in the political process when that probably isn't the thing that's at the top of their mind, but still is maybe more critical than ever?
Right.
So that's one of the things that I'll be talking about and bringing to the table. But you know, each person coming to this event will have something like that to be able to talk about. Connecting it to the things that Governor Blanco found really important in her own legacy, like helping children in need, what can we be doing now, how do we help with criminal justice reform, what has been done recently. We have made some progress in this state, but where do we see critical steps moving forward?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just a fascinating point, that one point you made there about what happens after a disaster like a hurricane, and there are elections around the corner.
Right. That's right.
What do we do? How do we handle that?
And I will say that the colloquium has been structured such that we'll spend about 90 minutes with the panelists speaking, but then we're going to open it up, and Ms. Landrieu will moderate a discussion between the audience and the panelists. So we're hoping to get some interesting back and forth going. If people have questions or they have something to add to the discussion, we'd like this colloquium to be the format for that.
All right. So a really wonderful way to hear people like Dr. Malloy and these others from varying fields in political science, in community service, in politics, all joining together again to celebrate Governor Blanco's legacy, as well as to talk about what the future is, and especially in light of this new Blanco's Policy Center that we'll have here on campus.
Mm-hmm.
You look like you wanted to add something. There's that.
I do. I just wanted to add that we very purposefully created the panel with a combination of the scholars that Christy was talking about, the research that they bring to the table, the theory, along with some of those scholars are doing work in the field right now as well, but with some of those policymakers and the people who are providing the service right now. So there'll be that interesting back and forth and give and take between the participants, and then we'll also try to bring in the audience as well.
Okay, and again, just an incredible opportunity to hear these voices that we might not other hear. Very positive, very thoughtful, knowledgeable voices who understand various aspects of government and policy and community service, all gathered together at this colloquium on Friday. If you have just tuned in, my guests are Dr. Christy Malloyd, who is an associate professor of political science at UL Lafayette, and Sally Donlin, who is assistant dean of liberal arts. The College of Liberal Arts is presenting this colloquium on Friday, 10 until noon, and the Blanco Policy Center will be housed under the College of Liberal Arts here on campus. It will be actually physically in Dupre Library when it is finished and completed. If people would like to know more about the center, is there some place they can go?
Yes, they can go directly to Eventbrite and just look for the Blanco Legacy Colloquium here in Lafayette, or they can, and more generally, go to our Facebook page, which is lengthy, but once you enter it, it's fine. It's University of Louisiana at Lafayette College of Liberal Arts. We post pretty much all of our activities up there, so it's a good thing for people to go to and check from time to time.
Right. It's a very large college, lots of fascinating things going on, lots of great lectures happening, and it's definitely worthwhile to like that page to know what's going on here. Well, thank you both for coming to let us know about it. Again, the colloquium this Friday, 10 to 12 noon at the Light Center in the UL Research Park. There is an Eventbrite site. You can sign up. It's open to everybody. They just would like to know how many people are attending, but if you don't know till Friday morning, show up anyway and attend the colloquium. Well, again, thank you, and we look forward to having you back once the center is up and running, and we can hear more about the events and opportunities that are happening because of the center.
We'll bring the director with us.
Yes. Thank you both.
Thank you, Judith.
Thank you.
KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Bonjour and hello. Listen to the Franco Mix at 9 p.m. on Thursdays with Drake Benoit LeBlanc, exclusively on KRVS 88.7. It's a formidable.
Later today on This American Life, yes, you've heard about the family separations, you've heard about the travel ban, but there are dozens of other ways that the administration is cracking down on immigration across many agencies, some of it really small. For instance, barraging applicants for visas with questions like, do the Grammys you've won really mean that you're qualified to work in the music business in America? Quiet bureaucratic war that's even against legal immigrants. Later today.
Coming up tonight at 7 on KRVS.
You're listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, and on the web at krvs.org. Find us on Facebook at KRVS Public Media.